Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Megillah Yotes. We are on the last line of Yud Ches Amud Beis. Mishnah says, a Megillah is only kosher if written with Diyoy black ink, Al HaSefer on parchment, and written in Lashon Ashuris. But if it was Hoysok Siva B'Sam, written using Sam, what is Sam? In Aramaic it's called Sama, Rashi says, some sort of colored ink, yellowish ink, or written with Sikra. What is that? Omer Rabba, Bar Bar Chana, Sikra Sashemoy. That's what it's called. Rashi says, reddish paint. Or with Kumos, which is Kuma, says Rashi, Sraf Ilan, something produced using tree sap. Or it was written with kankantoim. What is that? Charta de ushkepi, black dye used by these shoemakers. These aren't considered ink. Or if it was written on an unprocessed piece of leather, piece of parchment, diftera, which is the maliach, was processed with salt, bekamiach with flour and water, but the processing was not completed. Veloy ofitz, no gallnuts were added. It hasn't yet achieve the status of proper parchment. It doesn't work. Or written on a niyar. What's niyar? Machka. Paper. Made from grass, made from rags. Ad sheteik suv ashuris. It only works, number one, written with ashuris. Our alphabet. Dechsiv kichsavam ukizmanam. You have to use the alphabet used at that time amongst Klal Yisrael. Now, although there's a sheet in the Gemara Sanhedrin that there was a time in history when they reverted, they left Ksav Ashuris over to Ksav Ivris. Nevertheless, after we regained Ksav Ashuris, and Klal Yisrael started using that as their primary Ksav, you must use it for your Megillah. Kichsavam ukizmanam. Although during the time of the Megillah, they weren't using, perhaps they were not using Ashuris, but you have to use the Ksav and used in that day, kichsavam ukizmanam, and today it's Ashuris. It must be written ala sefer b'diyoy, using proper ink on proper parchment. Minalan, how do we know this? Asu ksiva ksiva, through gzeres shava, with the words ksiva ksiva, ksiva hachava, tichsev, tichtev, Esther amalka bas avichayel. So she wrote in the Megillah, lashon ksiva, uksiv hasam. We find elsewhere when Baruch ben Neriah was recording the words of Megillas Echa, dictated to him by Yirmiyah. By Yirmiyah Baruch, Baruch tells them, Mipiv yikra elayis klad verma ela. Yirmiyah would dictate to me all these words, Va'ani koisiv ala sefer bidyoyi. And I recorded it. I recorded those words on sefer, on parchment, using diyoyi. Ksiva involves taking proper ink and recording it on proper parchment. Here as well, Megillas Esther, although it's just a Megillah, it's a Igeres, the Gemara says later, it's like a letter, it doesn't have that same formality as all the other Kisvei HaKodesh, but the Ksiva, the content, the way it's recorded, has to conform to all the other, the same guidelines as the other Kisvei HaKodesh. Allah Sefer Abidyoi. Now we know there are two Zmanim for Kriyas HaMegillah. In the cities, on 14th of Adar. In the walled cities, on 15th. What if a Ben Ir, a city dweller, visits the Krach, the walled city, or vice versa? On which day does he observe Purim? On which day does he read the Megillah? Ben Ir Shehalach LeKrach. A fellow who resides in a city, where they read on Yud Dalet, visited the Krach, walled city, where they read on Tesvav, or Uben Krach Shalach Leir. A fellow who lived in a walled city visits the unwalled city. Im Asad Lachzor L'Mekaymai, if he intends on returning to his hometown, Kerikim Kaymai, his Zman Kriya is the same as his hometown. Im Lav, but otherwise, if he intends on staying here, Kerimon, he conforms to the Zman of the local community. Typically, one reads the entire Megillah. He's in a rush, he's on the road. What's the minimum? Where can you start from and still be Yaitzi the Megillah? Rabbi Eimer Kula, there's no way out, no shortcuts. The entire Megillah is required. Rabbi Eimer, Mi Ish Yehudi. You can start from Ish Yehudi, which is somewhere in the second parak. That's the Iker HaMegillah. Rabbi Eimer, Ma'achar Dvar Me'ela. You can even start later. Beginning of Perak Gimel, the Gemara will give the reasons for each Yita. Amar Rav, Aloishanu, when we say that the Ben Ir, who happens to be in the Krach, will follow his hometown. If he intends on going back there, he's still connected to his hometown. Loishanu, that only applies to L'sha'asad Lachzer by Leili Yudalit. He intends on returning during the night of Yudalit. Aval Ein Asad Lachzer by Leila Arba'asar. But he has no intention on returning at night, the night of Yudalit. Kura Imun, he will follow the local community. As Rashi explains, Rav is referring to the Ben Krach who's visiting the Ir. He belongs to the walled city, where they read on Tesvah. He's visiting the unwalled city. But he intends on going back home, says Rav. This intent of return only helps if he plans on leaving the Ir before daybreak, before the Iker Zman HaMegillah, which is by Yoin. Although you read it twice, once at night, once by day, but the Iker Zman is by day. Tosfos discussed it back on Daf Dalet, that's why we make another bracha by day. The Iker Zman is by day. So it all depends on where you're going to be by day. So if you're a Ben Krach, visiting an Ir, and you're there at night, Leil Yudalit, you're here, everybody's reading the Megillah, but you intend on leaving before the Zman Megillah of Yom, before tomorrow morning. Then you relate back to your hometown. You don't acquire the local Zman. And likewise, in the reverse case, if you're a fellow that resides in the Ir, they read on Yudalit, and you're visiting a walled city. So if you intend on being there by day, which day? On that day where they read the Megillah in that local place, then you're connected to, you're attached to that mokim. You get the zman of that new mokim. But otherwise, even if you're there at night, but if you plan on leaving prior to the Iker Zman Kriyas Megillah, which is by day, you relate back to your old hometown, and you read on your Yudalit. So again, Amar Rav, Leishanu, when do we say that the Das to be Chazer reconnects you to your old hometown and you don't follow the local Zman? That's only Elisha Asad Lachzer B'Leil Yudalit. He was speaking about a fellow in a walled city who's visiting an unwalled city. You live in Yerushalayim, you're visiting Bnei Brak. So he's there at night. Everybody's reading the Megillah. We say, well, if you plan on going back to Yerushalayim, you don't read tonight. You're going to read the next day. That's only if he intends on going back at night. But if you plan on sticking around for the day, you're going to be in the unwalled city during their Iker Zman Megillah. Kari Iman, you're drawn after them. You follow their Zman. Amar Rav Mina Minila. How do we know this halacha? That Chiddush, that just because I'm going to be in that place when they have the Iker Zman Megillah, I relate to them, I connect to them, identify with that place? How do we know this? I'm going back home. Why would I relate? Why would I identify with this mokim? D'chsiv al-keina Yehudim ha-prozim. Ha-yesh barei ha-prozis. Pasuk says that the Jews who live in the exposed cities, ha-yehudim ha-prozim, the prozim residents, ha-yesh barei ha-prozis, who happen to be present in the open cities. Oh, it's an extra expression, extra phrase. Michti, let's take a look at the pasuk. Ksiv ha-yudim ha-prozim. Once it says the residents of the prozim read on Yudalit, lamali l'michtav ha-yeshim barei ha-prozis. Why does the pasuk have to add? And happen to be present in the open cities. Apparently, the defining criterion isn't necessarily whether or not you're a resident of that town. It depends where you actually are. It depends on your presence. If you're Yoshev, if you're there, during the Zman Megillah, you connect to that Mokim. Hokmashman, the Pasuk in effect, is telling you, the Pruz ben Yoimu Nikra Purs. If you're sitting in a Mokim Purs, for one day, Pruz ben Yoimu, you're a one-day Purs, you're here for the Zman Megillah, Nikra Purs, you identify with the Mokim, you're now labeled. A Yoshev or a Prozois, and you read on Yudal. According to Rava, daytime, which is the Ikazman, Kriyas HaMegillah, determines this. Ashkan Paras. Okay, so from here we learn that a one-day Paras is considered a Paras. Mukaf Manolan. What about a one-day walled city fellow? You happen to be in the walled city for one day. During their Ikazman, Megillah, you relate to them, you identify as a Mukaf resident? How do we know that? Svaru. That's just plain logic. But the Pruz ben Yoimu Kari Pruz, once we've established that a one-day Pruz is considered a Pruz, likewise, Mukav ben Yoimu Kari Mukav, the same thing applies to a Mukav. Vamarava, another Chiddush. Ben Kfar Shalach Lir. We made special allowance, special accommodations for the villagers, because they're so nice to the city dwellers, they deliver their supplies throughout the entire year. We want to save them a trip. We say, look, you typically come in to the Besdin on Mondays and Thursdays, do your Megillah then, save yourself a trip. But let's say the villager who happened to read on a Monday, which was not really Purim, he read ahead of time, and suddenly on Purim he shows up, he comes to the city to visit his relatives. He's here on Purim. Ben Kfar Shalach Lir. Ben Kech Ben Kech Karim Mayim. Irrelevant of whether he plans on going back to his village, he will need to read again with these city dwellers. My time away. The truth is, even a villager should really be reading on Yudalud, like the Bnei Ya'ir, except Rabban Hudakilu ala Kfarim. Rabban made a special allowance for the Kfarim, Kadeshi Sapko Maimazin, Lachem Shir Krachen, to enable them to be free on Purim, to supply their goods to the city dwellers, or the way the Gemara daf. Back in the beginning, it actually changed it. The Gemara said that some of Farshim have a go here. The Gemara means that since they generally serve the Anshei Akrachim, so we allow them this extra slack and give them that break. Just read when you come in, save yourself a trip. In any case, the point is to accommodate their travel plans, right? If they need it. Hani miliki isei beduchte. That's if he's staying home on Purim. He's home on Yudal. We don't require that special trip to the city. But if he's here in any case, but if he happens to be in the city on Yudal, of course he has to read like the Bnei Yir. And the Chiddush is, even though he already read once, he read on Monday, he has to reread today. But Tosis points out, that's only if he arrived at night, which is the Tchilas Chiyuv of Megillah. But if he happens to come visit by day, of course, we're not going to require him. We're not going to be Machayev, another Kriyas HaMegillah. This is based on the other Pshat the Gemara there, because the point is to enable them to deliver their goods, to be free to deliver their goods. Well, if you're going to tell me that when they arrive with their goods, they have to read the Megillah, then you defeated the purpose of the Takana. In any case, Tosis assumes that this only applies when they're here at night. So if they show up to the city on the night of Purim, they're now incorporated into the city, and they have to follow the city's Zman. Actually, the Ritva brings a Yerushalmi. It's very applicable nowadays. If one lives in a city that has no wall, and he celebrated Purim on Yudalit, the way he's supposed to, then he travels over to a walled city, goes over to Yerushalayim. On the night of Tesvav, he's now included in the Chiv of Yerushalayim as well. He has a double Purim. Some Rishonim disagree, but the Ritva brings the Yerushalmi, and this seems to be the Minig Ha'olam today. You can actually have a double Purim, which is similar to the case of the Kfar, who's going to read once, and suddenly, when he comes to the city, he reads again. He has Purim all over again. So one person could have two Purims. Esvi Abaye. says Abaye, I have a kasha on you, Rabbi. You tell me that the villager has to read again just because he happens to be in the city on Purim. Ben krach sholach li'ir. The fellow living in a walled city traveled to this unwalled city. Ben kach ben kach kairakim kaimei. Whether he intends on going back home or not, he follows the local custom, the local zman. What do you mean? Ben krach sakataitach? How can the Braisa be speaking about a ben krach who's in a city? B'mosad lach satal yimosa. How can we ignore his travel plans? Whether or not he plans on returning, he follows the local zman. That's incorrect. The Mishnah said clearly that it depends if he plans on going back home or not. So something inaccurate in this Braisa. We find many times the Braisa's got a little bit... The Loshen needs to be clarified or modified. It's Elolav ben Kfar. Oh. So we have to modify the Loshen of Braisa. I'm not speaking about a ben Krach. I'm speaking about a ben Kfar. A villager. He had his Kriyas and Megillah say on a Monday. Yom HaKnisa. Right? He travels to the city. He's here on Yudal. The Braisa says, don't worry. He's Kerekim Mekayim. He already had his Kriyas and Megillah. He follows the villager's man, not the city's man. That's a kasha on you, Rava. That a villager who happens to be in the city on Purim has to reread the Megillah. Responds Rava, Valav Terutz and Mitarzis. In any case, you have to modify the Loshna Braisa, right? Tani Kareimon. So once you're modifying it, modify it further. Then Kfar, who's in the city, regardless of his travel plans, he's Kareimon. He joins the city dwellers in celebrating Purim. Okay, so bottom line is, Rava tells us to chidush. If you travel from one type of place to the other, ear to a krach to an ear, it all depends on where you plan on being during the ikar zman hakriya of that new location. If you plan on being there during their Iker Zman, which is by day, whether it's by an ear on Yodalot, by a krach on Tezvav, plan on being there during that moment, during that Zman, you are incorporated, you are connected to that city, and you read according to their Zman. Number two, Chiddush. I mean, Kfar, who already read the Megillah during the Yom HaKnisa, happens to find himself in a city, on Purim, he has to read the Megillah again, and join the city, and read it in its proper time. What's the minimum that is required for Kriyas HaMegillah? So we had how many shittas in the Mishnah? The entire Megillah, Ish Yehudi, Ma'achah Advar Me'il. Here comes a fourth shita, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Chai Omer, Mibalailahu. Balailahu, Nodad Shnas HaMelech. That's way later, that's the beginning of Perek Vav. So we have fourth shittas. Oh, Rabbi Yechanan, if you want to understand the pshat, where they're coming from, let me explain to you. The Kulan Mikra Echadosh, they're all based on the same pasuk, which says, Vatichtev Esther Malk Umardecha Yehudi. It's called Toikev. They recorded Toikev. What does Toikev mean? Rashi says, the main depiction of events that occurred to a certain a primary character in the plot, if you will. So that has to be read. You don't necessarily have to read the entire Megillah. You have to read Toikev, the main elements, the main story. There are four ways to interpret the word Toikev. Manda Markula, according to our mayor, it means the entire Megillah. Toikev is Achashverosh. You have to read all about Achashverosh's life story, his power, his malchus, all that he did from beginning to end of the Megillah. The other shita says, Ish Yehudi is fine. Take Vashel Mardechai. You have to read the portion of Megillah that deals with Mardechai's accomplishments, which begins from Ish Yehudi. You start from there, Take Vashel Haman. The part of the Megillah pertaining to Haman's life story. The one that maintains, you can start from way later, Take Vashel Neis. The main depiction of the Neis starts from Balailahu, that's when we started realizing the Neis. They read the diary, they found out Mordechai was due reward. Also with Haman with the horse. And because of that, Mordechai got on the king's good side, so to speak, and eventually they killed Haman. So a full interpretation of this pasuk. What does Toikev mean? Toikev Achashverosh, Mordechai, Haman, Toikev Shalnes. Revuna Mamahacha. I have another source for all four shittas. Umaro al Kocha. Umahagi Ale. The Megillah was written to express, to describe to future generations. Maru al Kocha. Why did they do what they did? Maro, based on what? What were they coming from? Al Kocha, which caused them to do what they did? Umagi Aleim. And what was the result of their actions? Now, there were many ways to apply this pasuk. What exactly is it referring to? Which player in the Megillah? Manda Omar Kula, Kotar Meir. You have to read the entire Megillah. Marah is referring to Achashverosh. What was he thinking? Marah Achashverosh. Shinshtamash Bekel Mishal Beis HaMikdash. That he pulled out the Kelei HaMikdash and used them during his festivities. The answer is Al Kacha, because of the following. Shinshtamash Shivim Shnin Vele Ifrik. He thought, he calculated. He had a proper cheshbon of the 7 years of Churban. There's no Geula taking place. It's over. They're here to stay. He celebrated. What was the result? Tragic results. Umagi Aleim, the Katal Vashti. Vashti got killed. That's Rameh's opinion. Maru al Kocha. Umagi Aleim, the whole story was Achashverosh. Umandam am Ish Yehudi. The other Shita, you start from Ish Yehudi. Maru is referring to Mordechai. What was he thinking? The Ikni Bihaman, that he instigated Haman, refused to bow. The answer is al Kocha because of the following reason. The Shavinav Shavid Zora. Haman presents himself like Avid Zora. Of course he refuses to bow to Haman. And what happened? Umagi Aleim, this Rachash Nes occurs. So you begin from the Ish Yehudi, which describes Mordechai's interaction with Haman. Uman da Oma Ma'achad Varmela, the other Shita, you start from Achad Varmela, which begins describing Haman's ascent to power, and etc. Ma'ra Haman. Ma'ra is referring to Haman. What was he thinking? Shinaskanab Kal Yudim. Why did he challenge all the Jews? The answer is Al Kocha, because of the following reason. Mishum de Mordechai le'yuchav le'yishtachem. Mordechai refused to bow to him. He took it personally. He had to get back at all the Jews. And what happened? Magi aleim v'selu ho'itzav etzbanav ala'etz. Him and his sons were hung on the tree. The fourth sheet is Uman de Omar mi ba'alai lahu. You have to start from there. Or you could start from there. Maro Achashverosh. Maro is referring to Achashverosh. Why did he do what he did? Lahavi Yasefa Zichronius. Why did he order that the royal diary be brought to him? The reason is Al Kocha, because of the following incident. Zaminte Esther Haman Bade, because he noticed that Esther was inviting Haman to the meal. He started feeling threatened. Are they plotting against me? Let me see what's going on. Like we learned the other day, why isn't anybody telling me that there's a plot? Perhaps they say I'm an ungrateful king. Let me see if I owe anybody any reward. Let's read the Sefer Zichronis. And what happened at the end? Magi aleim, Yisrachash Nisa, Anes occurred. So, the fourth sheet is, regarding reading the Megillah, the entire Megillah is Ma'akev, Ish Yehudi, Achad Varme'elem, Ubalailahu. Amr B'chelba Amr Avchama Bar Gur Yamarav, Halach Kedivir Aymer, Kula, we follow our mayor. You must read the entire Megillah. Afil Ulamanda Amram Ish Yehudi, even according to the Shita, that Ish Yehudi is enough. Tzricha should take Suva Kula, but the actual Sefer has to be a complete Megillah. You can cut corners as far as reading. You must read from a proper Megillah. A complete Megillah. Now, although yesterday we learned that you can have some missing letters or words, the Rashba explains, provided the structure is intact. The beginning and the end is there. So although in the middle you have some words missing, that's okay. The Gemara soon will call it Igeris. Megillah is like a letter. It can be missing a couple of words here and there, as long as it looks like a proper Megillah. V'amr b'chelba, amr achama, bargur yamarab. Megillah, we find an interesting thing with the Megillah. On the one hand, nikris sefer. V'nichtav ba'sefer, it's called a sefer. It's classified as a book, as a sefer. V'nikus Igeris. Then we call it an Igeris. Dibre Igeris Hazoi. It's like a letter. An informal type of thing. Both are true. It has both components. Nikros Sefer. Shem Tafer B'chutei Pishtam Psul. Just like Kisvei HaKadosh have to be sewn using sinews, Gidin. Likewise, the Megillah. If it's sewn with any other material, such as Pishtam, flax, thread, that's Pasul. So in that respect, we treat it like a formal Sefer. On the other hand, Nikros Igeris, it's also called an Igeris, which means it's not so formal. Shem Hitaba Shleshi Chutei Gidin Kshira. If you merely inserted the git three times, in, out, and in, that's okay, even though you didn't cover the entire length of the parchment. So you have two pages, so to speak, that need to be sewn together. You didn't sew from top to bottom. You just made three stitches, that's okay. So in its look, it has to be like a sefer, but it doesn't have to be completely in line with the sefer. Or Rav Nachman, Milvash Yom Shaloshim. We speak about three ins and outs of that chut, but they have to be properly spaced, distributed proportionally, meaning, let's say this is the page, and you go in, out, in, so let's say there's an inch on top, you go in, leave an inch until the next out, another inch, go in again. So in, out, and in, an inch in between, and another inch from the bottom of the page till that last insert. Shulish means it has to be properly distributed. You can't have just three stitches on top and leave the whole thing just hanging. It has to be evenly spaced. Amar Bidomar Shmuel, HaKoyer B'Megillah Ksuva Ben Aksuvim LaYotze. Suppose this fellow decided to get up in shul with a Tanakh written in parchment, and he reads Megillas Esther, which is actually meant to be written between Daniel, between Sefer Daniel and Sefer Ezra, as the Gemara Bavasser says. So it's a Megillah Ksuva Ben Aksuvim. It's not a separate Megillas Esther. It's been incorporated in the rest of the Tanakh. Lo Yotze, it's not Yotze, you can't tell. It's not Persum Menisa. Looks like he's just reading Tanakh, Haftarah. It needs to be especially designed Megillas Esther. Amar Rava Le'amar, that's only a concern, Elad Le'machasra Umiyatra, Purta. If the parchment on which the Megillah portion is written is not a bit shorter or longer than the rest of the Tanakh, in which case it's not discernible. Aval Mechaser, but if it's a bit shorter, so you have Daniel and then it dips down, you have Esther a bit shorter. Umiyatra Putu, it's a bit higher and longer than the rest, in which case it's visibly a Megillah. Esther less lambad, there's no concern. There's a story with Levi Bar Shmuel. Havakakari Kamed Rav Yehuda. He was reading on Purim in front of Rabbi Yehuda, B'Megillah Ksuva Ben Aksuva. Between Daniel and Ezra, it wasn't a separate Megillah, it was inside the Tanakh. Amar Lehi challenged him. He says, how can you do that, Hari Omru? HaKoyer B'Megillah Ksuva Ben Aksuva LaYotze. You can't do that. V'Amar B'Chia Barab, Amar B'Yechem, HaKoyer B'Megillah Ksuva Ben Aksuva LaYotze. Answers the Gemara, U'mochilo Amoicha. U'mochilo, they hit it. Amoch, Amoicha. As she says, on its brain, on its head, hit it over the head. Just an expression meaning that the truth is they minimized this halacha. They restricted it. It's not an absolute halacha. If you read a Megillah Esther ben Aksuma, you're not Yotze. It's only Betzibur Shano. In public, you're not Yotze. Because how's a listener going to know it's a Megillah Esther? He sees you reading a Tanakh. But in private, B'yachad, you're Yotze. You know what you're reading. Continues the Gemara with another Drasha, another halacha, in the same Manda Omer. V'Omer Abchia Bar Abba, Omer B'Yechanan, Shir HaTfar, Halacha L'Meshim Yisinai. Typically when you sew your pieces of parchments together to make a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, whatever, you can't just sew from top to bottom. You have to leave something over. A little space that's unsewn on top or on bottom. So leaving that space on top and on bottom is a halacha l'meshim esinai. U'mochila amoicha, but they hit it over the head, meaning it's incorrect. It's not halacha l'meshim esinai. The Bnei Yeshiva responded, "V'lo yomru el kadosh lo yikra." It's a practical thing; it shouldn't get torn. Because if you sew it too well, all the way from the top to the bottom, and then you close up the Sefer Torah tightly, you might just snap it if it's too rigid. Therefore, leave a bit open on top and the bottom, so when you're tightening it, you start seeing it pulling, you'll stop right there. So the Shira Tfar is the practical solution to this concern, to leave you a little slack, a little extra room to spare, so that you don't snap your pages apart. If it were to be that, if the following would have happened, you see this difference between imalei, which ends with a yud, which means it didn't happen, but if it would have happened as follows, and when it's ilmalei with an aleph at the end means something did happen. If not for that thing happening, if it would have not happened the way it happened, different, a slight difference in application. Two different words. Here it means ilmalei. If it would have happened, if the following thing would have taken place, it didn't, but if it would have taken place, what are we speaking about? Nishtair b'ma'ara. She'amad ha'moshe v'aliyo k'maloi nekev machad sitkes. If in that cave, in that ma'ara, that Moshe and Leo hid in, when Hashem passed over them and revealed himself, and Hashem covered over the cave so that they're not taken by it, they're not exposed to Hashem, which a human being can't really tolerate, so to speak. So if it would have been left over, if the following would have happened, Nishtair b'ma'ara, in that ma'ara there would have been left over, meaning there would have been a little bit that was not covered. In that ma'ara, she'amad b'moshe v'leyo, how much uncovered, even a drop, k'maloi nekev machad sitkis, just a crack, the size of a maloi nekev machad sitkis, size of the pinhole, of the thin mending needle, even that much exposure to Hashem's direct revelation would have been too overwhelming for Moshe and Yelio. So Moshe Rabbeinu, we know the Pasuk says that he was hiding in a Nikras Atzor by Har Sinai, and Eliyahu Navi as well. This was a schar due to him because of his involvement, his Mesiras Nefesh on the Har HaKarmel to disprove the Nevi Habal. So Hashem gave him a schar. Radak explains this. He took him back to Har Sinai and put him to that same Ma'ara. He gave him that same experience that Moshe Rabbeinu experienced. He passed over, but he covered him. So if anything would have been exposed, they wouldn't have been able to survive that experience. They couldn't stand the immense revelation. A human being cannot experience Hashem and remain alive. What does the pasuk mean? When Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the luchos, he says, "Look, Hashem gave me the luchos. This is in Dvarim Tes." He's relating the fact that Hashem gave him the luchos. Tzuvim be'etzba lakim, handwritten by Hashem, va'aleim, on which we have kichol hadvarim asher dibar Hashem imochem bohar mitoich eish b'makol. Everything was recorded on those luchos. Everything. Kichol hadvarim. It sounds like more than just the aseres hadibris. Ma'ayich se va'aleim kichol hadvarim asher dibar Hashem imochem bohar. Malamed, this teaches us, she'e'u HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, Hashem showed Moshe, even Torah Shebaal Peh, everything, even the chiddush that you and me say. Diktuke Torah, Diktuke Seifrim. As she says, Diktuke Torah, the drashes and the psukim, the ribuys and the miyuts. And Diktuke Seifrim, says Rashi, is the Torah Shal Peh throughout all the deiris. She Diktuke Achroinim, Miloshe Mishnas Rishainim. Whatever the later generations derive from the words of the earlier Chachamim. The entire Torah Shal Peh was recorded on those luchas. What else? Omasha Seifrim Asidin Lechadish. And even the special mitzvahs and takanis that the future chachamim will introduce. What are we coming to add here? Umayin yu, mikra megillah. To record and write the megillah and read the megillah on Purim. That's a mitzvah introduced by the later seferim, the later chachamim. That too was written, was included in those luchos. Continues the Mishnah. You meant to know that anybody can get up in shul and read the Megillah? except chutz mecherush, one who is deaf. And Tosis points out, typically, cherush means deaf and dumb. Here, obviously, he can't be dumb. If he's reading the Megillah, it means he's deaf. So he can read, but he can't really experience what he's saying. He's lacking the act of kriya, as we're going to see in the Gemara. So he's disqualified, shoita, mentally unstable, bekatan. Rabbi Yehuda machshir bekatan, the katan is fine. Now, what does the Mishnah mean? Cherush is no good, even b'di'evit, doesn't work. Well, l'chatchila, don't get him involved. Man tana cherush di'evit namiloi. Who's the man, the Omer, who maintains that a cherush is no good b'di'evit? He's completely disqualified because it's not considered reading unless you can actually experience, hear what you're saying. Who's that shita? That a cherush can't have a proper dibur. Omer of Masna, Rabbi Yosi. It's shita's Rabbi Yosi. As we find elsewhere by Krishma, the Snana Kuris Shema. One reads Shema, but he's whispering, he doesn't hear what he's saying. It's okay, Yatza. We have to add the words Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says he's Yatza. L'chatchila, you should hear what you're saying. That's a proper Dibur. But it works, even without it. Rabbi Yehuda Emer Lo Yatza? No. A Kriya, a Dibur, has to be something that you experience. You can hear it as you're saying it. Therefore, a cherush who can't experience it, can't hear what he's saying, can't read the Megillah. Even with the Eved, it's possible. How do you know that's pshat in the Mishnah? We might Rabbi Yosi with the Eved Namiloi. How do you know that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yosi? He's completely disqualified. Dilma Rabbi Yudihi. Ulchatchilahu. Deloi. We want our Mishnah to be Rabbi Yehuda. Tosfos says we follow Rabbi Yehuda's Shita and Shema. Our Mishnah as well is following Rabbi Yehuda. Don't use a cherish l'chatchila. So true, a shoita is possible by the Eved, of course. A katan as well, but a cherish, maybe the Mishnah only means preferably avoid a cherish. Because he can't hear what he's saying. Hadi Eved Shabbat Dami, but if he happens to read the Megillah, of course it works. Maybe that's a pshat in the Mishnah. Chutz mecherish, does it mean disqualified? It's Rabbi Yosi speaking? It doesn't work? Or means, preferably, don't use a cherish. It's Rabbi Yehuda speaking. I can't say that it's Rabbi Yehuda. You can't say it. The Mishnah means, we prefer avoiding a cherish, but it works with the Yevid. Take a look at the Mishnah. We bundle together cherish and shaita v'katan. Apparently, they're all in the same boat. Ma shaita v'katan, the Yevid namiloi. Certainly, a shaita v'katan not completely disqualified. Even with the Yevid, it doesn't work. They read the Megillah. Let's assume that the third item in the list as well will have the same halacha. Av cherish, the Eved Namiloi. So cherish is disqualified. It must be Rabbi Yosi speaking. V'dilma, no, maybe Hakadisa. Two different halachas in the Mishnah. Shaita v'katan, completely disqualified. But a cherish, try to avoid him. It's Rabbi Yosi speaking. It can't be. Midatani Seifa. Take a look at the next part of the Mishnah. Who's speaking in the Sefer? Rabbi Yehuda Machshir B'Katan. He allows a Katan. What does that tell you about the Reisha? It's not Rabbi Yehuda speaking. Mechal the Reisha love Rabbi Yehuda. Apparently the Reisha is not Rabbi Yehuda. And the Bach takes out the next 10-12 words or so, all the way to Vildilma, two lines down. No, maybe Vildilma, Kul Rabbi Yehuda. The entire Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda speaking. It's Rei Gavni Katan. There are two types of Katan. Katani La. We're discussing two types of katan. Yuchsur mechser. The Mishnah is meant to be learned as though it's missing some words. Vachitani and read as follows. Mishnah begins. Hakol ksherin likros ha-megillah. Anybody can read the Megillah. Chutz mecherish. Except for a cherish, because you know he can't really experience what he's doing. He doesn't really hear what he's saying. Nechatchila, avoid him. Also a shoyt of a katan, who don't work even by the Yevid. They're totally disqualified. When is a katan a problem? When he's too young, he hasn't reached the age of training. He's not even chayv mid rabbanon. He's disqualified. But if he's old enough to be trained, Rashi says 9-10 years old, in which case he's chayv mid rabbanon. In this case, he can get up in shul and read the Megillah for the Olam. is all Rabbi Yehuda speaking. Because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that a katan works. So why can't that be pshat in the Mishnah? Again, Mishnah says you can't use a chayrus. What does that mean? Disqualified? Or we prefer avoiding him? What's wrong with a chayrus? He can't hear. So he has the expression, but he doesn't really appreciate what he's saying. Is it possible even by the Yevet? Because it's Rabbi Yossi speaking, who says that unless you have that element of Shmia, you're no good. Or perhaps it's Rabbi Yehuda speaking. Rabbi Yehuda also agrees, L'chatchila, he should be Mashmia La'oz, and he should hear what he's saying, and therefore try to avoid the Chayrish, L'chatchila. Okay, let's assume you're right. B'ma Yukimta, Rabbi Yehuda, V'di Yevet. So what are you telling me? That the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. Don't use a chayrus l'chatchil. And b'diavad it works. So when the Mishnah by Kriyashma b'lo yishmeh l'asna yatsa, Divi Rabbi Yehuda, yatsa means b'diavad. Because even according to Rabbi Yehuda, l'chatchila, you should be mashmiya l'aznai. Okay, is that your opinion? I have a problem. I have another kasha. Hold on tight. Elohad atani, Rabbi Yehuda braid Rabbi Shimon Pazi. He was an Amor, and he taught us as follows. Cheresh ha-medaber v'ne shmiya. A cheresh who can speak, but he can't hear. He's deaf. Toyrim l'chatchila. He can separate truma from a crop. L'chatchila. No problem whatsoever, despite the fact that he can't hear the bracha that he's going to say at the time. It's not a problem. Hearing is not a prerequisite. It's not a precondition. It's not a required element. It's not even a chatchila. Go ahead and take the cheresh and use him for truma. Wow, this is a new opinion. Mani, right? This is not Moira speaking. Whose shita is he following? Who doesn't require shmiya at all? Who's the shita? Rabbi Yehuda. You just told me that Shmiya is a requirement. The Evidah works, but L'chatchila you shouldn't go for a person who can't hear. And that's why you shouldn't use a Cheresh for Megillah. And that's why by Krishma you Yetzir B'di Evid if you don't listen to what you're saying. It's only B'di Evid. You're Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, it certainly doesn't work. The Evid Namigla, according to him, without listening, it doesn't work at all. It's disqualified. It doesn't work. It's irrelevant, according to Rabbi Yossi. So who's Rabbi Yehuda braid the Rabbi Shimon Pazi quoting? Whose shita is he in line with? That l'chatchila a cheresh can do truma. Okay, I hear your question. Let's switch tracks. Let's adopt your opinion. You're disagreeing with my whole suggestion that Rabbi Yehuda requires l'chatchila and he's the Tana of our Mishnah, that cheresh l'chatchila shouldn't be used. You're telling me, according to Rabbi Yehuda, no problem, no qualms at all. There's no need to have shmiya. Okay, is that what you're suggesting? Without a hearing, it's perfectly fine. I'm going to have a kash on that as well. Listen to this. We have another braisa to put into the equation. Birchas hamazon. Allah desanya. La yivarach adam birchas hamazon beliba. One should avoid saying birchas hamazon in his heart, meaning without expressing the words. If he did so, he's Yaitzi. And the price really means he's going to say the words, but he's not going to hear it. Rashi Brachas explains. Believe it means, lo yishmeh la'aznai. He's just mouthing without hearing what he's saying. If he did so, he's Yaitzi. Which means, l'chatchila, try to have it heard. Try to be audible. But the other, just expressing, just mouthing, works. Now, who's this shita? Point to you, there is no such shita in the world that it's required the chatchila, but not b'diavad. Mani, who's speaking? Loi Rabbi Yehuda, it's not Rabbi Yehuda. Point to you, Rabbi Yehuda has no issue with mouthing words. V'loi Rabbi Yossi, it's certainly not Rabbi Yossi, who considers audibility to be critical. I Rabbi Yehuda, afil chatchila, point to Rabbi Yehuda, chatchila, you don't have to hear what you're saying. Even the Yevad doesn't work unless you hear what you're saying. It's not really stuck. says to him, you know what? I have an answer to that too. Lo'il Rabbi Yehuda, afilu chatchila. I maintain that according to Rabbi Yehuda, lo yishmi al aznai is fine, is perfectly fine, even lechatchila. There's no requirement, there's no preference to audibility. Nothing at all. And getting back to our Mishnah that a cherish can't be used, evidently that's not Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yosi, who holds that without mashmil aznai it's possible. And the Mishnah is speaking possible, but the Eved, it's Rabbi Yosi speaking. Well, kasha. So we're left with a kasha. What about this Berachas Hamazon Brisa? That it's required the chatchila, but not the d'yavad. Whose shita is that? We have just two shitas, both sides of the spectrum. Rabbi Yehuda says, don't worry about the whole thing. It's not even the chatchila. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's so critical, it's me'akab b'di'evit. We don't have a middle of the road shita. Le'kashi, the answer is, we have a third shita on the scene. Rabbi Yehuda's Rebbe holds that you need the chatchila, not b'di'evit. And he's the man, the Omar of the Brisa of Berachas Hamazon. Hadidei. Rabbi himself, Rabbi personally holds it's not required the chatchila. How do Rabbi, the Brisa of Berachas Hamazon, that it's required the chatchila is Rabbi's Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who holds that you have to listen to the chatchila. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, don't worry about it. Even the chatchila, it's fine. And therefore, when we spoke about the Shimon Pazi allowing the Cheresh to be termed the chatchila, that's Rabbi Yehuda speaking. He's following Shita. It's Rabbi Yehuda. It's not even required the chatchila. Where do we find this new shita? The Sani, Rabbi Doimer, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Hakoreh Shema Tzorech Shashmil Aznai. When one reads Shema, he should be Mashmil Aznai. Tzorech means it's advisable, it's lechatchila. Shenemar, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We learn Hashmel Aznacha. Masha Temoitzi Mipicha. Have your ears hear what you're saying. Here we go. Here's a third shita that you need lechatchila. Rabbi Doimer, no. It isn't required the chatchila. Asher nechem mitzav chayayim alav avecha. That's the pasuk by Krishna. We learn, achar kavanas halev, heinin advarim. As long as your heart's into it, your kavanas into it, your mind's into it, that's all. Even if it's not audible, it's fine. So according to this approach in the Gemara, we have three shittas. Right, left, and center. We have Rabbi Yehuda says, don't worry about the mashmel aznai. Even chatchila, you're okay. We have Rabbi Yosi says it's ma'akib b'di'evit. We have the middle shita, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that compromise. Do it chatchila, but it's not ma'akib b'di'evit. Getting back to our Mishnah, anybody can read except for the Cheresh because he can't hear what you're saying. Who's speaking? Rashi explains the Gemara. It's Rabbi Yosi speaking. You cannot use a Cheresh. Absolute. You can't use him because it's ma'akib. Now shita is Rabbi Yosi. When we say that a cheresh can be turned lechatchila, that's Rabbi Yehuda speaking. When we say that by Berachas Hamazon lechatchila you should hear what you're saying, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the middle of the road sheet. Continues the Gemara. Harsh to the asas lachi. But now that you've arrived at this point, at which point we just discovered that there's a sheetus Rabbi Meir who holds that don't worry about listening, don't worry about audibility. If you have another name on the scene, Rabbi Meir, if so, we can propose another track, another perspective on this sugya. I feel the Rabbi Yehuda, good Rabbi Svirla. You know what? Rabbi Yehuda himself perhaps follows his Rebbe Shita. It makes sense. He holds like his Rebbe that l'chatchila should be mashmiel l'aznai. And in that case, we can say that our Mishnah prefers not using a cheresh. In line with Rabbi Yehuda, l'chatchila you should have mashmiel l'aznai. And that's the brisa of Berachas Hamazon. L'chatchila you should have mashmiel l'aznai. And when Rabbi Yehuda says by Shema, if you don't listen to it, your yaitze means b'di'evet. He was like his Rabbi, l'chatchila you should have mashmiel l'aznai to complete the experience. V'ad etani Yehuda, braid the Rishim and Pazi. What about the halacha of Rishim and Pazi that a cheresh can do truma l'chatchila? Don't be concerned about mashmiel aznai. You know what that is? Rabbi Meir. You just found a new shita of Meir, says the Chatchil. Don't worry about these type of things. And he's the man, the Omer of that shit. So bottom line is, we have the Mishnah. Kol Kshir and Likas HaMegillah, except for the Cheir Shaita V'Katan. I'm trying to figure out, what does Chutz Mecheirish mean? Oh. So, first we need a short introduction. What happens if a person says a bracha, etc., without the words being heard, without them being audible? Lo Yishmeh L'Aznei. So we have three shittas. According to the first approach in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir both hold, it's not even a requirement in L'Chatchila. Elazar holds, it's required in L'Chatchila. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's Ma'akev B'Dievet. According to this approach, when the Mishnah says, don't use a Cheresh for the Megillah, our Mishnah, it can only be one man to Omar, Rabbi Yehuda, who says, but the Evet, it doesn't work. It's possible. Don't use them at all. When Rabbi Yehuda says by Krishma, if you don't listen to what you're saying, you Yetze, it doesn't mean by the Evet. It means the Chatchila. It's fine. When we learn that by Truma, a Cheresh can be Terem L'Chatchila, who's that? Rabbi Yehuda or Rameir? Who say the Chatchila, it's fine. And the Raisa says, but Chatamazin, the Chatchila, you should listen to what you're saying. Who Shita is that? Rabbi Ben Azari, he requires the Chatchila. According to track 2 in the Gemara, we just changed one thing. We decided to move over Rabbi Yehuda. Instead of being aligned with Rabbi Meir, we put him together with his own Rebbe. Elazar ben Azari, El Chatchila is required. So on the one hand, Rabbi Meir says, it's perfectly fine without listening. The Chatchila, you're fine. The Minol Shita is Rabbi Elazar ben Azari and Rabbi Yehuda, who require the Chatchila. On the left, we have Rabbi Yehuda, you say, it's Ma'akev B'Dievet. According to this, how do we understand that was Sugya? Let's go down the line again. Mishnah that says, don't use a Cheresh for Megillah. It's Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. Because we prefer the Mishnah being Rabbi Yehuda, as Taisus explains. We follow Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha K'maisei. Mishnah says, look, L'chatchila, don't use a Cheresh. But the evidence works. But L'chatchila, avoid it. Likewise, by Krishma, when Rabbi Yehuda says, without Mashmel Azna Yaitse, he means, Yaitse, but the evidence, because he requires the L'chatchila to have it audible, but the evidence, Yaitse. When Rav Shimon ben Pazi tells us that a Cheresh can be Torah Truma L'Chatchila, that must be Rav Meir speaking, who says there isn't even a preference to Mashmei L'Aznei. As long as you speak, that's Dibur, that's Kriya, even without listening. And the Brisa says, V'Brichas HaMazn L'Chatchila Yishu B'Mashmei L'Aznei, who's this speaking? That's Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that's Rabbi Yehuda, who required this element of Mashmei L'Aznei, at least, L'Chatchila. Okay, so let's quickly review today's daf. Megillah is only kosher if it was written ala sefer b'diyoy b'ksav ashuris. Rava tells us two halachis, two chidushim. If you switched locations, you went from the Eretz to the Krach or vice versa, and you plan on returning, you plan on not being in the new location during their ikar zman kriyas haMegillah, meaning during their yoyim of Purim, so you're going to be absent, you're going to leave prior to that period, you reconnect to your old town, you don't identify with your current location. Another halacha, Ibn Kfar. He read the Megillah on a previous day, ahead of time. He happens to find himself in the city at the night of Purim. Leil Yudal, he has to reread the Megillah. We have four shitas regarding how much of the Megillah must be read. The entire Megillah, because the focus is on Chashverish. Ish Yehudi, the focus is on Mordechai. Achad Varmeila, the focus is on Haman. Balayla who? Whether because we're speaking about the Toik of Hanes, which begins then, or the focus is on Achashverosh, and he's the main player, starting from that point. And Megillah has two components. It's called Sefer, a formal a document, and called Igeris. It must be sown using Gidin, but a couple of Tfiris is enough. You should not read Bitzibur from Megillah's Esther, which is incorporated in a complete Tanakh, unless it's visibly a Megillah Esther, longer or shorter than the rest of the pages. You should leave over some parchment unsewn on top and on bottom to give it a little bit of leeway. The Ma'ara of Moshe and Eliyahu are completely covered and protected. Everything, including Megillah Esther, Mitzvah Mikra Megillah, was recorded on the Luchos, handed by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. All the best to you, and Much atzlacha.